At dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia."
Jesus Christ is risen today, alleluia, our triumphant holy day, alleluia. Who procured, alleluia. Now above the sky he's deep, alleluia. Where the angels ever sing, alleluia. Sing we to our God
Let us join our voices in prayer. We praise you, God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. We praise you, O God, for raising him from the dead. We praise you, O God, all creation, all life, and all lives, and new life, for all good hearts and faithful people. We praise you for your holy scriptures that feed us at all times of life. We praise you for your church that strives to serve others in response to your call to follow Jesus, our risen Lord, who goes on ahead of us and leads us into resurrection living. Glory and power and wisdom and might and all thanksgiving be given to you now, sovereign Lord, and forevermore. Amen. We send Easter greetings from Westminster Presbyterian Church to everyone who is viewing us today via the internet. What a great gift that has been to us in this time of the life of the church. I have prayed for you, for our community, the nation and the world, and I know that you have been praying earnestly too. We're so glad that we can be together this morning, and I want to make a special invitation to anyone who might be watching and who would like to unite with the church. Guess what? It's still possible to do so. If your faith in Jesus Christ is strong and you would like to become a member of Westminster Presbyterian Church, we encourage you to get in touch with me or with one of the elders, and we will arrange a membership. I want to say thank you to those who have participated in the music and to Michelle Peck, her amazing production and provision of the Facebook and YouTube videos, and to Dr. Pitts, who has played so faithfully for all of our services. It's a great gift to be part of the Westminster Presbyterian Church community, especially on this Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. God bless you all. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd cares for his sheep, and they know his voice." Because we serve a crucified and risen Lord, we have confidence to confess our sins and shortcomings to him, for he will not only forgive us, but he will heal our broken hearts and help us grow in faithfulness day by day. Let us confess our sins together in prayer and also in silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that we look for the living among the dead, but you raised him to rule this world in love. You send Jesus on ahead of us, but we stay behind, often failing to believe, often living in defensive fear. You reveal to us heavenly glory, but we set our minds on earthly things and long for things that do not give life. Forgive us, O God, and restore us to joy in the new life you promise. Send us forth to share the gospel with words and deeds that show we love the risen Lord of life, whom death could not destroy. Christ Jesus, our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in heaven for us. Christ prays for us. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The past is finished and done. Behold, the new life has begun. In Christ, we are forgiven and free from sin and guilt. Praise be to God for mercy and resurrection life we receive in Jesus Christ. We give God thanks and we'll live as free people. Alleluia. Amen. This morning early, I rose before 4 o'clock, not by my own choice. But there at 4:30, when I was still awake, there popped in a prompt from Facebook that my congregation in Woking, England was beginning their Easter Sunday morning service. And so I was able to connect with them for a short while. I didn't last through the entire service. But during my reflections early this morning, I was thinking about how many gifts are being shared with communities all over the nation and world today, gifts that are much needed by healthcare personnel, the meals that our congregation members may have provided, the many masks that are being given and sewn with loving care and shared to the gift of life and the preservation of life. I know that so many of you want to give of yourselves and are finding ways to do that. This is a blessing for me to think about, and I know it must be for you too, to know that our dedication to God's work in the world does not stop just because we cannot gather in our usual sanctuary of worship at 903 North Street in Nacogdoches, Texas. And so as we reflect on our ability to give and on the gifts that we give and on God's grace to us in a risen Lord, it inspires us to do what we are able to do. And so I invite you once more to do just that. God bless you in your giving. Let us pray. O God, we ask for your blessings upon each gift we give and upon our lives as we dedicate ourselves to the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, of his saving love, and his resurrection to new life, promising us eternal life, abundant life. Hear these in all our prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we approach the reading and hearing of the scriptures, let us bow together and ask for God's help. Gracious God, we bless and thank you for delivering the sacred texts to us. And we thank you for all those who have studied them and translated them and made them available to us in such convenient forms. But we ask you now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may truly understand what we read and understand that it is your will to understand as you direct us today by your Spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The first lesson from the epistle of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, we read verses 35 through 44 and 51 through 58. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives his own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Behold, I tell you, shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Thank you.
Utterly magnificent. Thank you. The gospel lesson recorded at the end of the Gospel of Matthew in the 28th chapter. We read of that first resurrection morning. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." Here end the lessons from the scriptures for this day. Before I begin my sermon, I want to say that not many of you are going to remember specifically what I say in the sermon. You won't remember for very long. But most of you are going to remember that you were alive in 2020 in this crisis, and that you found solace in the Christian community. Perhaps you will find day by day that God was reaching out to you to help you and to challenge you to follow the risen Christ and to bring others through his love into his way of resurrection life. When St. Paul preached to the throngs in an outdoor amphitheater in Ephesus, his sermon caused a riot. Well, I don't think the four of us here are going to have a riot when they hear my sermon. And the rest of you are too scattered to really cause a riot right away. So that's not going to happen. I might have prayed that my sermon would cause a riot, but if it does happen, it would only be by God's grace. So as we begin, let us bow once more in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Redeemer of all life, we ask you to prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word of glorious good news in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On Easter Sunday morning, I know that many of you who are viewing and believing in God today want to rejoice in the fullness of God's promised gift of new life, abundant life, resurrection life. Simultaneously, all connected in Christ throughout the world know very, very well about the care and the sorrow that grind and test our faith, including a new widespread and very threatening disease, more threatening to some than to others, as well as having been deadly to 20,000 in our country. Of course, there have been life crises for most people long before this crisis. I have a friend who was raised by a chronic worrier, a hopeless person who dampened every moment of joy with expressions of pessimism every time. He says that it really wasn't unusual for him to receive brief emails from home while he was in college saying, "Start worrying now, details to follow." My friend said that his parents had an unusual definition of where life begins. For them, he said, life begins at graduation from medical school. And he's 58 now, and life apparently still hasn't begun for him by his parents' standard. We could never make a complete list of life's sorrows and daunting, worrying prospects. Therefore, the broadest and deepest characteristic of all Christian worship must be a sense of deep joy. In opposition to the experiences, the messages, the doubts that darken and threaten our lives, it is that great contradiction of joy that anchors us in the realities of God. Not with human optimism do we believe in God, but with Easter faith, that despite the doubts and differences around us, life is found, fulfilled, and celebrated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's Easter faith. We have heard that Jesus Christ was faithful to God to the end of his life, the one and only, that he gave his life freely for those who wrongly executed him, an innocent man, and for all who declare him to be the Lord in hope. If we express Easter faith, it is possible only because he was faithful to his promises that could not and would not bind him. You may ask and wonder, what does Easter faith look like to us? Indeed, it does not always look like this glorious sanctuary of God with lilies and flowers, with sunrises that are so spectacular. Believe me, it does not always sound like the full organ in C major. 300 years ago, J.S. Bach faced no such music critics quite as we have in our culture, but he had his detractors. Following the first singing of what some think to have been his greatest composition, the awesome Passion according to St. Matthew, he was beset by negative reactions. One of his many sons asked him about how it felt to have labored over this magnum opus only to have it so roundly rejected. Bach serenely responded, "I didn't write it for them. I wrote it for God." Easter faith, joy down deep, from a father of many children, only half of whom lived to adulthood. Meeting life's tragedy with such composure would be disingenuous for me to prescribe, tell you how to do it. And yet it is evidenced, and we can find it, in many tortured souls throughout the world and around us even now. The great Gustav Mahler asked, "What are the dark forces that rule our lives? How can we escape the overwhelming tragedy of life? What are the means through which we may find hope against the bleak veils which shroud our existence? When will the dark night of the soul ever end?" Now, he had the right to ask those questions because he was a child of parents who fought continually. He was the oldest of 12 children, only 6 of whom survived infancy. Think of all that death in a family. Then Gustav's very favorite brother, Ernst, died when Ernst was 13. And his only other brother committed suicide. We feel awkward to hear the answer that that future composer gave at the tender young age of just 5 years when he once was asked what he wanted to be when he grew up. He said, "A martyr," which is not surprising with the smell of death always so close at hand in his world. His marriage? As tumultuous as they come. Of his 2 daughters, his dearly beloved Maria died at 4.5. In the same year, circumstances that same year forced his resignation as director of the Vienna Opera, and the heart condition which would eventually take his life was diagnosed. Same year. Listening to his 9 symphonies and to the wider Titanic opus of his otherworldly orchestral and choral music written in his short 51-year lifetime, you can hear pain. And even remembering that his conversion from Judaism to Christianity came, sadly, by cultural pressures he faced to continue his upward career, his clear God-given gifts sustained and redeemed him through his pain to bring triumph for humanity. Listen to his 2nd symphony, so-called Resurrection. I know you have time these days. It took him longer to compose than any other work. It's a wrenching emotional workout. But isn't that the way it is with Easter faith? It is and always will be wrenching for anyone to embrace it. Because to embrace it, we must die to things we love. Who will pretend it is all bells and Broadway songs and special effects and bonnets and parades? I already know that I'm an odd child. My life was shaped by listening to old records of Beethoven, Bach, and Brahms, and Benny Goodman, and Ella Fitzgerald. I got more normal when I turned on to Jimi Hendrix, the Moody Blues, and the Rolling Stones. And okay, yeah, I'll admit there were a few years or a couple of months of Carpenters and Glenn Campbell. I think it was about 10 minutes, actually. But I still returned to the depths of classical music for consolation in times of trouble and pain. And yet then, when the greatest hour of my greatest need came in my life, Mahler was God's gift. Another suffering servant. Are you a suffering servant in the world? If so, you are greatly needed. A friend of mine wrote of the deep, quiet joy that is Easter, and of how it may lift the burden of grief, when she said, "The music of Holy Week and Easter can both pierce the heart and heal it at the same time." Or rather, said she, it heals the very heart it pierces. Those women who found the empty tomb while it was still dark on the first day of the week, weren't their hearts pierced too? Jesus had told his disciples, "I will meet you again in Galilee." Matthew's version of the resurrection says the young man dressed in white reminded them that Jesus had told them that. But Mark's resurrection account is mysterious, merely that of an empty tomb, not of any meetings. Even more important than that fact is Mark's final utterance. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. By now, if you have never read the endings of all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you may be surprised to see how they line up and how they differ. You see, Easter faith has room for fear. Other churches offer you other lessons, easier ones, but the Bible is not ambiguous about the fear and trembling as bread and butter of faith. The confusion, fear, and flight from the tomb are not far removed from the Good Friday Gospel record that says all of them deserted him and fled. And yet their actions nor ours determine those actions of Almighty God who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ. Astonishment, trembling, fear, and silence do not seem inappropriate for Easter morning, either in Scripture or in life in 2020. Jesus' followers did, however, find their tongues eventually, and they did make their witness eventually. But early in the morning is no time to be glib and chatty about an empty tomb and a risen Lord. We are on the edge of the deep truth in God, ours, the early by sense, and mystery trumpeted, come the shout. It's promised, it's preaching. Pulls it up in 3:0. In the sense of Solomon destroyed before, in the only modest time, turn of the Hebrew. And so it was confirmed that the referred to the building, but he was still the temple of God. His promise inspired faith in us. Yes, Easter faith, fear, trembling. Four things that bode the depths of each of our disciples. Said he's going ahead. A, our Savior who is going ahead and who promised me a future. You do. Easter faith in a faith for a victor over death. Not remove us from the world, but the outcome advance. Ask us to be like our Savior. Men and men for servants of the Lord. Easter faith is following the man for acts of holiness to the world with him joy and arena. The audience of to just back with us if that is where we are stuck and some are. But may not be, but we can do the boom wrote salvation camp experience. God is good, she said. God may not be worshipped. We can bow to him and find new oxygen and faith practices. Easter faith, bring life, bring to support plan. It'd be odd to move into a new and open the refrigerator room there. It'd be weird to wake up one morning and find yourself praying. And the inspiration that is needed to react with Easter faith, that would be what it's like. Our lives, find others who can try. Give God and keep them. It's not Easter faith. Remember Paul's work, which is all, unless it dies, death is all in vain. Therefore, steadfast, he's movable, all excelling in the world. So then, labor is not close. Christ always guides us. The year 480, the Roman Empire passed a failed state with its government. Safe travel was a distant memory. Commerce stood still. What we call a depression would have been a dream vacation compared to the depth of life in the century after the collapse of Roman order. And out of that mayhem, in which the church protected, preserved, and hid ancient literature and learning and scripture, there arose an unlikely, obstreperous convert to Christ. His heart had been slow to turn, but in his midlife, it had turned. And from the writings of the pen of St. Augustine of North Africa, more than 1,600 years ago, we have these words, lifting us up in the resurrection of Christ and giving us hope. He wrote, "Let us sing Alleluia here on earth while we still live in anxiety, so that we may sing it one day in heaven in full security. We shall have no enemies in heaven. We shall never lose a friend. God's praises are sung," said he, "both there and here. But here, God's praises are sung in anxiety, there in security. Here, they are sung by those destined to die, there by those destined to live forever. Here, they are sung in hope, there in hope's fulfillment. Here, they are sung by wayfarers, there by those living in their own country." And so then he went on, "Let us sing now, not in order to enjoy a life of leisure, but in order to lighten our labors. You should sing as wayfarers do. Sing, but continue your journey. Sing then, but keep going. Now to God, who is able to do far more than anything we would ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, today and tomorrow and forevermore. Amen." Please bow together with me in prayer. Blessed Lord Jesus, thou conqueror over death and hell, behold us as we come to worship you. Give us faith that not having seen, we may yet believe. And hear us now with Easter faith as we make our alleluias and cry to thee, my Lord and my God. And make us lifelong partakers of the beauty and deep joy of this day when thou didst burst asunder the barriers of the grave and rise triumphant, alive forevermore. Amen.
Baby.
Let us affirm together. I believe God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, once again, let us unite our spirits in prayer, and let us bring our blessed prayers before Almighty God as one community of faith, scattered yet together. Eternal God, we praise you that your glory has dawned on us and brought us into this day of resurrection. We rejoice that the grave could not hold your Son, and that he has conquered death, risen to rule over all powers of this earth. We praise you that he summons us into new life to follow him with joy and gladness. By your Spirit, lift us from doubt and despair, and set our feet in Christ's holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life, and all we have may show forth his love. Praise, glory, and thanks are yours, our God, forever. O Christ, after your resurrection, you appeared to your disciples. You breathed on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You gave joy and exultation to the whole creation. Through your victory, we pray to you to hear us. After your resurrection, you sent out your disciples to teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You promised to be with them and to be with us until the end of the world. So we pray to you through your victory. Christ, through your resurrection, you lifted us up and filled us with rejoicing. Through your salvation, you enrich us with your gifts. Renew our lives and fill our hearts with joy. Through your victory, we pray. You are glorified by angels in heaven, O Christ, and worshiped on earth. On this glorious feast of the resurrection, we pray to you to hear us and to save us, O Christ, in your goodness. Extend your mercy to your people who await the resurrection, and have mercy upon us. Merciful God, you raised your beloved Son, and in your love established him head of the church and ruler of the universe. By goodness, we pray for your church. We ask you to bless it and fill it with courage and love and joy to reach out in service to the whole world and to worship with joy at all times. God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Bless, we pray, with the same love, all those who are suffering today. We pray for the dying and for those who mourn. We pray for those who love those who are so ill. We pray for those who are responding in so many ways with insignificant seeming gifts 6 weeks ago, but not so insignificant today. We pray for all first responders, for all medical personnel, for those who attend to the dying, covered in layers of protective clothing, but who yet still hold hands and pray. Grant to us, O God, that we may die, and that we may die to ourselves and to sin, that we may live forever with Christ in the joy of his resurrection. This and all our prayers we offer in Christ, who taught his followers to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us go forth in spirit now to bless and keep the world with the love of Jesus Christ, having received from God that great blessing of promise of eternal life. And now may the God of all peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, keep you in perfect peace and make you perfect in every good way to serve God's will, working in you that which is pleasing to God. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.